Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Dustin is off this week, so I thought we would do something a little bit different. We like to think that we represent the voice of the fan here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. So I decided, let's bring a real fan in for today's show. One of our loyal listeners, those who listen to Ask Ross or Ask Greg in the past, or now Ask T. Frank, you'll know him as Steve from Potomac, Maryland. Welcome to the show, Steve Pavlik. It's great to have you on. And Steve and I interact quite a bit. We've become friends. And obviously, our biggest topic of conversation, besides politics, is Penn State football. And Steve, you have a few topics that are the most important to you, and we're going to get to those. But before we do that, could you just explain to our listeners, how'd you become a Penn State football fan?
Well, I didn't really have much of a choice. I have pictures of me, you know, a few weeks old, and I'm wearing a Penn State onesie. My dad's from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. My uncle went to Penn State. Both my sisters went to Penn State. As a young football player growing up, I played linebacker, and of course you wanted to play at linebacker U. Unfortunately, I was too small and too slow, so I don't fault them for not showing much interest in me. But I did want to mention, when I was in middle school, there was a quarterback here named Tim Strachan. He could have gone to any school in the country, and Penn State was one of the ones that offered him. Unfortunately, he had a very bad accident at the beach and was actually paralyzed, and Coach Paterno called him and still told him he had a full football scholarship at Penn State. And that left a really lasting impression on me and a lot of other people in this area. So I've been going to Penn State games pretty much every home game since about 2004, 2005, when my first sister was at Penn State.
That's fantastic. So you got the family tradition, a little bit of the personal connection. So before we get into the details of it, Steve, why don't you tell our listeners, give us those two favorite topics you have and a little bit of an overview of where you're coming from.
Well, the two things that we've talked on at length about, and I don't think I'm probably the only fan that may have some frustration or questions here, is the first would be the sort of, I would call, perpetually poor quarterback play that been at Penn State. And honestly, this predates the Franklin era, but I think done little to address it since then. And then related to Coach Franklin, you know, have we reached a plateau? Is there a chance to maybe, you know, exceed from where we are, get into the playoffs and potentially compete with the title? I have some questions about some things I'm just seeing on the field that make me wonder, is Franklin really going to address these things?
Got it. So those are the two topics we're going to talk about today. We'll be able to dive deep into them. And you're right. You're not the only listener who's brought up these topics to me or in our Ask Ross segment or anywhere else. But after I screw up your name, I'll still say, Steve, we may do this again where we bring a listener on the show for the fun of it. It'll be interesting. But it all depends on how you do today. So no pressure on you, but if we're ever going to do this again, it's dependent on your performance today, okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's hit it. Let's start with the quarterback situation, and tell me, what is it about the quarterback play? I get it. I've talked about it too. You know, there hasn't been the Justin Fields-type quarterback at Penn State. What is your frustration? Let's start at the beginning, or at least Franklin's beginning, which was Christian Hackenberg, who came into the program very highly rated. Did you have a problem with Franklin's handling of Hackenberg right off the bat?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say just about the quarterback, even since when I played and growing up, just the importance now, I think, of the position has just really increased significantly. Everything's run so much through that. And to not have that elite quarterback play, I think it's really going to hold you back. On the flip side, if you do have that, I think it's really a chance to be that catalyst to that next level. So I think about Christian Hackenberg, you know, I still give the guy a lot of credit for coming to Penn State as a top-rated quarterback. I saw it as more of a square peg and round hole situation there, probably with Coach Franklin. And I think that's sort of where maybe some of these struggles began, is because we didn't really see the offense sort of adapt to Hackenberg's strength. And because he sort of struggled there, I think that was where we started running into this problem of trying to recruit, top-notch talent. You have this five-star guy. He wasn't really to develop. If you're a top quarterback recruit, you may be reluctant to try to go there.
Did you have a lot of Penn State fans felt Hackenberg excelled with Bill O'Brien as the coach, that Franklin essentially did him a disservice in his handling of Hackenberg?
I don't know, going back to, did they really try to move the offense towards Hackenberg's strengths, or were they just trying to sort of, do what they felt comfortable with? And maybe that was John Donovan. After those first two seasons there of struggling with it, I couldn't help but notice that, Donovan left, Moorhead came in, but it did make me ask the question sort of, is that something that Franklin did, or was he sort of told to do that after those early struggles and bring somebody else in like Moorhead? But again, I don't think it was a good fit from that. I think Franklin has some sort of scheme he wants to run. That clearly wasn't the quarterback he wanted to try to get to advance that. But I did sort of question, why did we end up maybe going over now to maybe Trace McSorley? I mean, on paper, he was a three-star safety. Now, granted, he was able to exceed a lot of those, physical limitations and these expectations coming in at the quarterback. But if that was going to be your offense, why weren't you really trying to get somebody maybe a little higher in terms of recruiting ranking or quality than that?
I do think in the beginning, when Franklin first got here, first of all, I do agree with Hackenberg, square peg, round hole, as far as what Franklin wanted to do and what Hackenberg's strengths were. But I do believe also that Hackenberg, I believe, was overrated. And I see why. When he first came in, here's this big, strong guy. And Steve, I always use the analogy to baseball. It's like the high school pitcher who throws 98 miles an hour. Every scout thinks, oh, we could teach him everything else, but you can't teach 98. Well, Hackenberg, that's what he is. He looks like what a quarterback's supposed to look like. He had the big arm. You can't teach that. And I think what you saw with his professional career, where he struggled there, I don't think you could pin those things on Franklin. So I do think that also was not a good fit with style. Now, you mentioned McSorley, and he was not a highly rated guy coming out of high school. But is that, Franklin just saying, well, McSorley is the guy that I want because I think he's so good? Or was it, gee, there's still sanctions going on here at Penn State. It's pretty tough to recruit at that time.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of both. I think there were some challenges there early on with the recruiting. I think O'Brien probably left the cupboard pretty bare, particularly on the offensive line. And that probably contributed a lot to Hackenberg's struggles as well. It didn't look all that dissimilar in terms of Hackenberg's career than maybe Anthony Morelli, another big-armed guy with a lot of hype coming in. But, when McSorley was there, I did think he benefited a lot from having a really strong supporting cast. I mean, you have a generational player like Saquon Barkley. You have another strong supporting cast members like Chris Godwin and Mike Gesicki. I mean, they're going to make a lot of people look better at quarterback. And, I don't want to take anything away from McSorley. I think he, again, greatly exceeded a lot of his physical limitations, but having that strong supporting cast help. And I think showing the success that they had at that time with Moorhead probably made it easier to attract a guy like Justin Fields, who was probably committed at that time when Moorhead was the coach, with maybe the understanding of, look, if Penn State can be this successful with a guy with McSorley's limitations, imagine what they can do if I come here and I run in that offense. But I think, again, going back to maybe where Franklin frustrated me a little bit was, when Moorhead decided to move on, what did he do? He decided to promote Ricky Ronnie. And I think that's when, not by coincidence, you saw Justin Fields decommit. And people were like, well, we don't really know about this guy. I think that made it really difficult to attract a top-tier quarterback play to Penn State at that point.
Well, a couple different things in response to that. I think with McSorley, first of all, I think Franklin needs some credit for being able to look at McSorley and say, he saw something in him that I don't think other folks did. And I think that bore out when you saw how McSorley played. And it was fascinating, as you know, our buddy Ross Tucker, he does a good job reviewing these tapes. And I'm not sure if I've shared this story on the air or not, but years ago when talking about McSorley, and he watched his high school tape. And I asked Ross, well, why is he a three? You seem pretty high on him. Why is he a three-star, not a four-star? And he raised his index finger and thumb and held them about 2 inches apart and said, that's why, Jim, meaning McSorley's height. There's an automatic, like when we talked about Hackenberg and his size, and that's what scouts will look for. McSorley was undersized. And I think what's interesting is you've seen more, quote-unquote, undersized quarterbacks in the college game with their, you know, athletic ability. If you were finding out, that's a dangerous weapon in college. And the fact that McSorley ended up on a NFL roster, I think really actually speaks, maybe he was a pretty talented guy.
Again, I think he exceeded his physical limitations, and I give him all the credit in the world. And I was a big McSorley fan when he was there. I was pulling for him like every other Penn State fan. That said, I couldn't help but wonder if the guy had a little bit stronger of an arm, you know, what that may have contributed to him maybe performing a little bit better in some of these close games when it came down to him. And could he have been more of a legitimate threat there at the running quarterback position? And that's sort of been a knock that I've had with McSorley, as well as transferring over to Clifford, is if you really had a true threat at that dual, quarterback position, that dual threat position there, where the defense has to play it more honest, where, okay, is it going to give it to Saquon, or is McSorley going to be a threat to potentially do something here? It just makes me wonder sort of what could have been there. And then I look, it doesn't have to just be them. I mean, you had some big guys here on the bench too. I mean, you had Tommy Stevens. We dealt with Will Levis last year. I mean, contrast that to a guy like Urban Meyer. What did he do freshman year with Tim Tebow? When Tim Tebow was there freshman year, he worked them in, got established some short yardage offense there with Chris Leak, and they were very successful there at Florida with that.
I think there's no doubt that you could have found, we mentioned Justin Fields, a quarterback like that. I'm always very curious what difference that would have made in the Penn State-Ohio State rivalry. I'm not sure, though, that Fields looked at the coaching or Moorhead leaving to make change his mind. What I believe happened was his recruiting just blew up after, you know, he committed to Penn State. He reached a point in the ratings where he could go anywhere he wanted. And I think you saw that with him initially going to Georgia, very, very highly rated team. Then when he transferred, he went to Ohio State, obviously a very highly rated team with playoff aspirations. Okay, that's going to have to be it for quarter number one. We are not done talking about quarterbacks in the Franklin era. Stay tuned for more of that in quarter number two. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.